Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome around the Lord's table. The retiral offering today is for the Fabric Fund, and everybody's welcome to have a cup of tea or coffee at the end of the service. You have most of the intimations, but I want to highlight that tonight at 7 o'clock in Kilwinning Old Parish Church, the Air Strings is putting on an autumn concert, and donations are for their organ fund. That's tonight, 7 o'clock in Kilwinning Old Parish. The Guild this week has a speaker speaking about Hansel Village, the special needs centre, and you're invited to bring your purses with you because they'll be selling some of the goods that they make in Hansel Village. Next Sunday is All Saints Sunday, and I commend to you the food bank. I'd just like to congratulate Jim and Janet Cowan on their 50th anniversary, which was on Thursday. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied." So let us worship him and sing to his praise and glory in hymn 34. Lord of all being, throned afar, thy glory flames from sun and star. Hymn 34. The Last Supper still continues. The eternal banquet has already begun. Jesus invites us now to join with all his disciples, past, present, and future. Let us pray. Loving Lord God, we praise and thank you for graciously inviting us to your table right now. We thank you for freely, lovingly, generously giving us a place at your table, a place in your heart, and a place at the eternal banquet in heaven. Here we belong. Here we are, children of our loving Heavenly Father, brothers and sisters in Christ, fellow recipients of the same Holy Spirit. We come to you for spiritual nourishment, for love and acceptance, for peace in the storms of life. We come for forgiveness of sins. We come for release from guilts and fears and doubts, for strength beyond our own strength, for wisdom and guidance beyond our own knowledge and understanding, for courage beyond our own bravery. We come to you because you are the way, the truth, and life. You are the bread of life. You alone satisfy our hunger and thirst for righteousness. With you we need never thirst again. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the be-all and end-all. And you graciously invite and welcome us. You call us here. You love us and want us. And so we come and we praise and we thank you, now and forevermore. We come like the early Israelites, gathering up the manna in the wilderness, seeking our daily bread. We come like the 5,000 multitude in the New Testament to watch you do miracle, do miracles with our loaves and fish. We come like the disciples in the upper room on Easter Sunday evening to meet with the risen Christ. We come like Cleopas and his friend in Emmaus so that we might know you in the breaking of bread and find our hearts burning within us in excitement. Merciful and gracious God, forgive us when we miss the loving Father's feast, lovingly prepared for his prodigal sons and daughters, because we stubbornly refuse to come home. Forgive us when we miss the meal because we are too self-righteous, brothers and sisters, and stubbornly refuse to come in and sit down with our prodigal brothers and sisters. Forgive us when we miss the meal because we wish to limit the guest list to only the likes of us. Forgive us when we are in danger of missing the eternal banquet because we stubbornly resist your total unconditional agape love. We thank you for your grace and mercy, for your love and patience and forgiveness. And we thank you that you are here and we are here, and that here we meet in your love. And here we enjoy all the blessings that flow from having you yourself. So hear us as we bring to you all our prayers and the words you taught us to say. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now let's turn to the Word of God, reading first from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, at verse 1. Mark 5, verse 1. Jesus and his disciples arrived on the other side of Lake Galilee, in the territory of Gerasa. As soon as Jesus got out of the boat, he was met by a man who came out of the burial caves there. This man had an evil spirit in him and lived among the tombs. Nobody could keep him chained up anymore. Many times his feet and hands had been chained, but every time he broke the chains and smashed the irons on his feet. He was too strong for anyone to control him. Day and night he wandered among the tombs and through the hills, screaming and cutting himself with stones. He was some distance away when he saw Jesus. So he ran, fell on his knees before him, and screamed in a loud voice, "Jesus, Son of the Most High God, what do you want with me? For God's sake, I beg you, don't punish me." He said this because Jesus was saying, "Evil spirit, come out of this man." So Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" The man answered, "My name is Mob. There are many of us." And he kept begging Jesus not to send the evil spirits out of that region. There was a large herd of pigs nearby, feeding on a hillside. So the spirits begged Jesus, "Send us to the pigs and let us go into them." He let them go, and the evil spirits went out of the man and entered the pigs. The whole herd, about 2,000 pigs in all, rushed down the side of the cliff into the lake and were drowned. The men who had been taking care of the pigs ran away and spread the news in the town among the farms. People went out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they saw the man who used to have the mob of demons in him. He was sitting there clothed and in his right mind, and they were all afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the man with the demons and about the pigs. So they asked Jesus to leave their territory. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had the demons, begged him, "Let me go with you." But Jesus would not let him. Instead, he told him, "Go back home to your family and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how kind he has been to you." So the man left and went all through the 10 towns telling what Jesus had done for him. And all who heard it were amazed. Amen, and thanks be to God. Now let's sing together hymn 76, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind," 76.
Thank you.
Our second reading is from Philippians chapter 2 and reading from verse 1. Philippians 2 at verse 1. Your life in Christ makes you strong, and his love comforts you. You have fellowship with the Spirit, and you have kindness and compassion for one another. I urge you then to make me completely happy by having the same thoughts, sharing the same love, and being one in soul and mind. Don't do anything from selfish ambition or from a cheap desire to boast, but be humble towards one another, always considering others better than yourselves. And look out for one another's interests, not just for your own. The attitude you should have is the one that Christ Jesus had. He always had the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to become equal with God. Instead of this, of his own free will, he gave up all he had and took the nature of a servant and became like man and appeared in human likeness. He was humble and walked the path of obedience all the way to death, his death on the cross. For this reason, God raised him to the highest place above and gave him the name that is greater than any other name. And so, in honor of the name of Jesus, all beings in heaven, on earth, and in the world below will fall on their knees, and all will openly proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now let's sing hymn 300, At the Name of Jesus Every Knee Shall Bow. 300.
Thank you.
St. Paul said that we have the mind of Christ. Let's chew over that a bit today. Just recently on our Friday night discussions, one of the members of the group was trying to say something and get the right expression, but it was on the tip of their tongue and they couldn't get the right words. And then we scratched our heads to figure what are they trying to get to say. And then one of the group said, cognitive dissonance. And the person shrieked with excitement, yes, that's the word, cognitive dissonance. How on earth, thought the group, could anybody come up with the missing word being that? Isn't it amazing when you mind read? That was the word that their mind had been searching for, and that was the word they got spot on. When you mind read and you succeed, it's a bit like doing a crossword, because that's what it's a battle of the setter of the crossword and the one doing it. I sometimes moan in the house and say to my wife, see that congregation? They expect me to be a mind reader. They don't phone me and tell me what's wrong. They expect me to drive up and down the street and spot which house is which person with which problem today. But having moaned about it for years, I've recently come to the thought that isn't it a lovely thing? We all do this. We all mind read. Isn't it amazing how parents can mind read the needs of a baby? The baby can't speak, but the parents know what it's needing. It makes the odd hoot and howl to help them, of course. Isn't it amazing how kids can mind read the parents and they can know what they can get off with and not get off with? Isn't it amazing how husbands and wives can mind read each other across a crowded room? Close friends do it. Anywhere where there's a close relationship. We do it with our pets. My dog's got me to a fine art. He can tell me exactly where to put his bed and where to put the duvet on it. And computers do it. Amazon, Google, advertisers do it. They mind read and they know what adverts to push at us. We can even do it with people who are dead. When our loved ones pass on, years later, we can still know exactly what Granny would think at this moment. It's a lovely, beautiful thing that is the product of loving relationships. So it's a shame we have to mind read sometimes. Why don't you just phone me and let me know what you're thinking? But the ability to do it is an amazing gift. Enjoy it. It's fun when you solve it and you walk in at the right moment for the right situation. When you can bring a rabbit out of the hat and do something that just is the spot on thing to do. It's beautiful to have a relationship with somebody where you're on the same wavelength. There's a communion of minds and hearts. And it's most beautiful of all when the relationship is with Jesus. When Jesus can read our minds and we can read his. Imagine that Jesus reads us like a book. Better than a parent can read a child or a dog owner the dog. Jesus can see right in us and through us. We can't play silly games with Jesus. We can't hide from him. We can't tell him any lies. Jesus knows us better than we know ourselves. And also miraculous is that we get to read the mind of Jesus. We can know what Jesus would think at any given crisis or dilemma or moral issue. We know what Jesus would say. We know what Jesus would do. It's not an exact science, but it's a skill we develop the more we get to know him and love him. It comes over years of experience. But St. Paul could then say in 1 Corinthians, I have the mind of Christ. William Barclay wrote a book, The Mind of Christ. Communion, what we're doing this morning, is about that. We are physically sitting together with Jesus, literally eating and drinking together with Jesus. But it's more than that. You know how if you invite somebody around for a cup of coffee, it isn't just to use up your old coffee beans. There's much more to it than that. When you invite somebody around for a coffee, what you're really saying is, let's have some friendship. Let's have a relationship. A meeting of minds and hearts. A getting to know you. And so that's what it is at communion. It includes eating bread and drinking wine, but it's really much more than that. It's about getting to know Jesus better, getting to know each other better, sharing an activity, but also a relational experience. It's a meeting of minds, a bonding session, a fellowship human and divine. We can share memories together. We've shared experiences together. We've a rich heritage and history together. We share the same Jesus together. We are those for whom Jesus lived and died and rose again. We are those called by Jesus to be his disciples and follow him. We have followed. We are constituted brothers and sisters in Christ, children of the same loving Heavenly Father. We are fellow disciples. We are fellow graduates from the school of hard knocks, life. We are fellow veterans from the same battles. In all our daily devotions, in our Sunday services, our midweek worship, our Thursday prayer group, our Friday discussion group, we commune with Jesus and each other. We develop this relationship so that we come to know the mind of Christ. In Acts, we read that the early Christians, it was said, all believers were of one mind. There's something beautiful in that. I remember an advert for Canadian Airlines. This is way back, a few decades ago. And they had this aeroplane at the end of a runway in the dark. But on the aeroplane, it was bright and light, and they were having a party. And the caption was, our passengers love our flight so much, we can't get them off the plane. In a world of darkness, there's a little group of people meeting, having such a joyful time, that those looking on would like to see some of the action too. This is communion, fellowship, a party together with Jesus. We don't need to be lonely. There's a place. It's an open party. Anyone can get on board. We live in a dark world at the moment. This world is full of suicide, self-harm, abuse of others, knife crime, mass shootings, domestic violence, people trafficking, drugs, depression, you name it. This world today, if you listen to your news, you'll hear about wars in Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, civil unrest in Hong Kong, Beirut, Santiago, Barcelona, to name but a few. Global climate change and all the protests. And then there's the UK and Brexit. The EU is trying to read the mind of the UK, and what are they going to do next? In Britain, we're trying to scratch our heads and figure what will Boris Johnson and the government do next? What will all the political parties do next? Parliament having one mind? You must be joking. Now we're all suffering Brexititis. Is anyone asking, what is the mind of Christ? What does Jesus think? What would he do? The deck chairs get rearranged, the lemmings group together, the headless chickens run round and round, and the lost sheep baa and bleat. But people don't know the peace of God. They can't discern the will of God. They don't seek the mind of Christ. They don't even know their own minds. Jesus once looked out at the crowds of people and he sighed, they're like sheep without a shepherd. Augustine said, we never find our rest till we find our rest in God. The passage that we read this morning in Mark chapter 5 seems to be a parable of our present state. It's the story of a man who was in a mess, mentally. He was out of his mind. He was out of control by himself and out of control by anybody else. He was a scary guy. People gave him a wide berth. Jesus, however, comes along and very quickly heals him. He gives him peace. He restores him to his right mind. He communes with him. Jesus has given the man release from whatever was possessing him, dementing him, and he gave him the mind of Christ, the peace of God. And the man wants more of the action, and he wants to come with Jesus. Well, it's understandable. That's why we are here today. We want more of Jesus. We want more of this mind of Christ. We want to be more Christ-like. We want to be chips off the old block. The closer we are with Jesus, the closer our relationship, the more Christ-like we become. Life's not about rules, principles, beliefs, behaviors. Life's about getting closer to Jesus and being more like him. So here we are sitting around the Lord's table in loving communion, human and divine together. On God's side, he doesn't want to be God without us. That's why he made us. That's why he looks after us. That's why he redeemed us. That's why he calls us. That's why he prepares a place in heaven for us. He freely, he doesn't have to, but he chooses to get to know us, to get inside our minds, to know the mind of human beings. So much so, not from on high, but he comes down to be human, one of us. A baby in a manger, a young man at a carpenter's bench. He really wants under our skin. He really loves us. He wants real communion with us. And we, at our side of this, we want him. We want to love him too. We want to get under his skin, to read his mind, to have the peace of God. This is a love affair. And it's available. It's offered. He offers himself to us. And he looks to us to offer ourselves to him. And as a bride and groom would exchange rings, he exchanged bread and wine. He revealed himself to us in Scripture, but supremely in Jesus. He reveals himself in church and preaching and teaching. He comes to us through the sacrament. He loves us and wants us to love him. He knows us through and through, and he would like us to know him. He wants to live in our daily lives, and he wants us to live his eternal life. He wants to commune with us right now at this moment in this sacrament, here in Saltcoats. But he'd also like us to come to heaven, to his place, for all eternity, to have the eternal banquet. Chew over these things as you eat your bread and drink your wine this morning. Now the offering for the work of the Lord will be received. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you graciously, freely, and generously give us our time, talents, and money. And we offer them in return to you. Take our time, talents, and money. Take us and use us in your service. Amen. Now let's sing together our communion hymn, hymn 571. Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts. 571. He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, please be seated. This table of our Lord Jesus Christ is open to anyone who truly loves him and are members of any branch of his church worldwide. We also welcome round the Lord's table today Susan Gill as her first week as a new elder, and also more recently we had John Hunter too. Come, all you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for you will be satisfied. Jesus said, with me you need never hunger or thirst again. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Listen to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord as they're given to us by St. Paul. He writes, I received from the Lord what I also pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So let us do it then in word and in action, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As Jesus took bread and wine, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as Jesus gave thanks and prayed, let us now make our prayers of thanksgiving. Truly, at all times and in all places, we should give thanks to you, O Holy Lord, Father Almighty, everlasting God, for you created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. You created us in your own image, and your tender mercies are over all your works. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for you are the Saviour of the world. Blessed be the hour in which you were born and the hour when you died. And blessed be the dawn of your rising again and the glorious day of your ascending. And blessed be you, O Holy Spirit, giver of life, who enables your people to proclaim the gospel among all nations. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with all the angels and all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Glory be to you, O Lord Most High. And now, O Father, as we remember Jesus' life and work, we come to his table in his name and in obedience to his command. By the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, bless and consecrate these gifts, we pray, so that the bread which we break may be for us a sharing in the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless a sharing in the blood of Christ. This we ask for the forgiveness of our sins, and the hallowing of all our lives and work, and so that we ourselves may become a living sacrifice, dedicated and fit for your acceptance. And hear us as we bring to you our particular prayers this weekend. We pray for all those who are ill. We think of Morag Conway, Kate Hughes, Ruth Cowan, Margaret Curlett, Bobby Brennan, Margaret McKee, Alec Whitfield, Fraser Mitchell, John King. And we pray for your comfort and peace upon all those who are bereaved, especially Peggy Gilfillan's family. On a happier note, we pray for your blessing on Jim and Janet Cowan celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. And we pray for the world today. We think of the families and the friends and all those mourning the loss of the 39 migrants who suffocated in a container lorry, 25 of them from the same village in Vietnam. We think of 3,000 refugees currently trapped in Libya's civil war, 3,000 people in Syria caught up in the battle for Idlib, 60,000 refugees around the world, 11,000 Kurds were killed fighting IS. Now America has left the Kurds to face IS, President Assad, Russia and Turkey. We think of the violent protests today in Hong Kong, in Baghdad, 40 people killed there yesterday, in Barcelona, Santiago, all round the world. We think of the wildfires in California, where 50,000 people have been evacuated. And we pray for the Brexit situation in our own country. Grant to our leaders wisdom, moral courage, and love. And we pray for your church. We pray for Dalry St. Margaret's Church, getting a new minister, the Reverend David Alban, tomorrow night. We pray for Saltcoats, and we pray for your church everywhere. Work in us and through us, for the extension of your kingdom, we pray. Amen. So according to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord, and in remembrance of him, we do this. The night in which he was betrayed, and on Easter Sunday night, Jesus took bread, and when he blessed it and given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, grant us your peace. Take this and eat it. This is the body of Christ which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. This cup is the new covenant sealed by Christ's blood, which was shed that the sins of many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. Take, eat, and drink. It's from Jesus, it's for you. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for allowing us to take part in your holy sacrament. We thank you for meeting with us here right now, for opening your mind and heart to us, and opening up our hearts and minds to you. Fill us with your mind. May we be Christ-like. May we go from this place in your name, bearing the name and living the life that goes with it. Amen. Let's sing together the closing hymn, 573, verses 5 to 7. 573, verses 5 to 7. Too soon we rise. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit give you light to guide you, courage to support you, and love to unite you now and evermore.